It's time to hear what's good, what's bad, and what's ugly at the cinemas and on DVD. Get ready for...
Wait for it!
Film Sociology with WFYI's film guru.
Kaiser Soze!
No, that's Matthew Soze.
It's such a fine line between stupid and clever.
Yes. Let's find out how thin the line is. Here's your host, Matthew Soze.
Donnie, you're out of your element!
Por el camino del desierto, el viento me despeina, suelo aroma de colita, nada de lari, ella de lo lejos, una luz en tela, la idea de mezcal, te vi por en la noche, ella estaba la entrada y la campana.
Hello there, film lovers, and welcome to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD2 The Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msocey, that's M-S-O-C-E-Y, at WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter, at Matthew Soce. Remember, msocey at WFYI.org, because we have trivia for this show, so pay attention. The show is available as a podcast. It's also available on iTunes. And we have a blog, which you can read at
filmsociology.tumblr.com.
The voice you just heard looks like Donnie, dresses like Jesus. That's Kobe Slagle.
Hello, hello.
And we have lots of company. It's like college radio all over again. We have Brian and Monica Hartz, who we'll get to in a little bit. But I do want to wish a happy, oh, I guess I'll have to be that charming one at the office, a happy 21st birthday to Christina Yulin. It is her birthday today. There are balloons, there are hats, and happy birthday, Christina.
Thank you so much, Matt. I'm actually on a scavenger hunt of sorts, my first stop is film sociology.
Why?
Seriously, I mean,
according to my clue, it is the hottest film show in town.
Well, that is true.
We're the only film show in town. No, that's not true. The Film Yap is... Well, they're online. Anyway, thank you. Appreciate that. So, well, I guess I have to ask you some movie trivia.
Okay.
I got music for this, too.
You do. Brian, you get to be Richard Dawson on this one. And Monica's,
keep your distance, Brian.
Monica's Fanny Fleck. Hey, he's not Charles Nelson Reilly, so
it's
okay.
Who I was thinking of. That's right.
You're not old enough to know Match. Will you kill that? It's not a Mark Goodson, Bill... whatever production. Okay, we go to... Thank you, Emeritus. We go to 1973 movie trivia. Kobe, it's one of your favorite years because the 70s?
Different time.
No questions about Serpico. That kind of bums me out. That's all right. So here we go, Monica. Monica. Here we go, Christina. I'm looking at you.
Monica.
I see her. Long story. Dr. Freud. Okay. These are typed up by a certain somebody. Thank you. This film reawakened the horror film genre and became one of the most popular and controversial films ever released. What is it?
Rosemary's Baby.
No, that's 1968.
Ooh.
So the correct answer, anybody?
The Exorcist.
Everybody?
I was busy growing.
You were busy. And fortunately, your parents were not the ones that brought the baby to the movies. Thank you. You were raised well. Okay, Enter the Dragon was the top-grossing film of 1973, but this cult movie star died before its release. Name him, and don't say John Saxon.
Cult movie star.
Of Enter the Dragon. Silence is great for radio.
Oh, right? I know. You know...
I'll give you a hint. It's not John Saxon, and it's not Jim Kelly.
It's not Chuck Norris.
Jim Kelly
was in the movie.
Football player, wasn't he?
Oh, gosh. Yes, he was, but there was also Black Belt Jones, Jim Kelly, but that's another
show
for
another
time.
All right, I'm going to go with... I've never seen Enter the Dragon.
We need to fix that.
but I assume that perhaps it is maybe, you know, the dude who does all the karate movies, like his father?
You're my dad? You pointed at me.
No.
Dr. John Soce did kung fu movies? What are you talking about?
Not kung fu movies, more like...
Brandon's dad.
Yes!
Who is it? Say it. Say his name.
Somebody Lee.
Say his name. Yes.
It's not Sarah Lee.
It's not.
Not Stanley.
It's not Grant Lee or
not
Lee
Robert
Grant.
Lee.
Bruce Lee.
Oh, my God.
Oh.
Are we at 10 minutes yet?
Okay, that's exactly who I had in my head. I couldn't come out with his name.
You know what? I think Peter Sagal is more strict than we are, so that's all right. Okay. About 300 pre-1962 cars were needed to create the cruising scenes in this 1973 film. And to irritate some people, it's the best film this guy ever made.
Okay, how many cars were needed?
300. It's not the film 300.
For the cruising scene.
For the cruising scene. Pre-1962. Nostalgia.
What, I thought all this stuff was 1973.
This is a film that came out in 1973.
The cars were not pre-1972.
Oh, it was probably James Dean and Erased, and it was...
It stars somebody from Happy Days and Laverne and Shirley. Monica just hit her husband. That's great. Which is great for radio.
Ron Howard?
Yes. Name the film.
Okay. American...
You've got it. Yes.
What's the next word?
You are so close.
I've seen it. American Graffiti.
That's right. That's right. So we got 2-1. We're gonna play this at the end of the year show. The entire thing.
Kobe.
Okay. Ooh, this is a good tough one. A portion of the opening theme music to this 1973 Disney movie, therefore it's inadequate, was used for the infamous hamster dance website being played at double speed.
1973 Disney movie?
Yes, animated.
Lady and the Tramp.
No. Ooh. And I'm going to be nice. I'll give you a hint. This version of this story is better than Costner's version.
Oh, sure.
She made an arrow shooting motion, which is great for radio.
Don't
say Hunger Games.
Robin Hood?
Yes. Oh, gosh. We'll give you that one. Okay.
Really? You mean give it? Was that right or
yes,
not?
That's
yeah,
correct.
That's right.
Okay,
even though you had the first guess wrong.
Well, do you know when Lady and the Tramp came out? It had to be around that time.
No, it was actually way before.
50s.
See?
Yeah. Oh, wowza.
Okay, finally. Boy, because we should do this more often. This charmed actress.
Ooh, I can do this. It's Alyssa Milano or it's...
Can I finish the question,
okay,
please?
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Shannon Doherty.
Now it reminds me of this joke. Knock, knock.
Who's there?
Gestapo.
Gestapo.
I'll ask the questions.
All right.
Hardball with Chris Madden.
This charmed actress, also known for her roles in Nip Tuck and Jawbreaker, was born in Italy in 1973. She also survived Marilyn Manson.
Shannon Doherty.
No.
No? Oh, Rose McGowan.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, because we run by the wait, don't tell me
rules.
She was
not one of the three original witches. She came in later.
She wasn't in Macbeth either. So by Peter Sagal rules, you got 4 out of 5 right.
Ish.
Ish-esque.
Does
so,
that mean she gets your voice on her answering machine?
Nobody wants that. Lynn and Emma don't even want that. So there you go. Congratulations. You now know more about movies that were made in your birth year than, well, not as much as me.
Not as much as you, no. Well, thank you, Matt, for having me.
Happy
birthday. This has been a wonderful first stop on my adventure.
Wow, I hope it gets better.
And we have our next clue.
Oh, ooh. And a rubber chicken.
Uh-oh, Spanguli's going to want to know about that. Why is it got giant pores?
The chicken does?
Yes, the chicken has giant pores.
It's so it can absorb the salt and pepper when you flavor it to cook
it's
it.
It's for Max.
Do you want me to read my clue on the air?
Yeah, why not? Let's make this whole thing
record.
Experience.
All right.
Kobe, this is cutting into our sports and cooking talk before the film show begins.
Oh, I can't read this. Sorry.
You can't read it?
No. Yeah,
we don't want to lose our license.
It's highly inappropriate.
Do you know what show you're on? All right, then no. Happy
Thank
birthday.
Thank you, everyone.
We'll see you afterwards.
Thank you for listening, film lovers. 633-7420.
Well, we're off to a rollicking start here at Film Sociology, and I haven't even flirted with Monica yet on air. Hello, dear.
Joining us on Film Sociology,
really
Brian Hartz and his hot wife.
Yeah.
That's the only reason Matthew ever asked
That's
me on the
not
show.
True. That is not true. You offered her. Well, that sounds bad, but not as bad as pulling things out of Keira Knightley.
Yo.
Was a great moment.
That was. Oh, great. No, we can't start the show just yet because joining us now on Film Sociology, it's like a pledge show. But joining us is original producer and Film Sociology alumni emeritus, Melissa Davis. Hi, Melissa.
Hi, Matt.
See,
Thanks
I get to do it to
in.
People I do know, too, Kobe. Now you're in because you are also Film Sociology's secondary Fleetwood Mac correspondent.
Secondary? Who's first, Darren?
That would be me with Peter Green and the blues band before they got all the girls and the cocaine. But no, there is a Stevie Nicks event that you wanted to. This is a hot news flash, a film sociology exclusive. Yeah. And what do you got for us?
Well, actually, Stevie Nicks has a documentary coming out with Dave Stewart, who is in the Eurythmics with Annie Lennox. And they are premiering the documentary all over the United States. And they're having a screening Tuesday, April 2nd at Landmark. It starts at 7 o'clock, and it is called Stevie Nicks in Your Dreams. So it's supposed to be pretty awesome.
Ooh.
So bring your scarves and your Tiffany lamps.
Yes.
And
it's BYOWWE. Bring your own white winged dove. Yes.
And if it's in slow motion, it's a John Woo film.
Yes.
It's going to be super cool.
Can we get some bullet time in there?
Yeah. I think she's doing a Q&A in Los Angeles after, and that's live. So, oh my gosh, but maybe they're taping it and showing it. I don't know, but I do know that the documentary is supposed to be amazing.
But this
Even
is,
if you're not a Stevie Nicks fan.
And this is at Landmark, so you can get popcorn and beer, which is always a good thing.
I had been meaning to, never mind. I was.
No, no, come on. The show's already off the rails.
Oh, yeah.
What, you think you're single-handedly going to bring it back?
I was going through the stack of movies that you had given me. The Phoenix Rises this week.
And it'll happen this week, yep. I assure you.
So it happens today.
We'll have What Is Kobe Watching.
And I had meant to have popcorn and beer or popcorn and other adult beverages this week whilst watching these movies, but it never happened. I just never got up and made the popcorn.
You're a lazy person.
I know.
Either that or he was so glued to the movie.
Yeah, he's got. Well, I gave him some films. I don't think he was entirely thrilled with them. But we will verbally.
Story of my life.
She was pointing at Brian, not me. So, wow. It's going to turn into film newlywed game all of a sudden.
Nice.
So anyway, but yeah, that's great.
Cool. I have to go do work.
I know you do. This. I love Melissa's drive-by appearances.
I don't want to, but you know, we had to
on the show
on Friday.
So thank you, Melissa.
Thank you. Go to see Stevie Nicks. Bye bye.
Bye.
We'll let you know if there's a 2-disc Blu-ray edition of Burlesque coming out anytime soon. Okay.
One for each. Oh, never mind.
No.
Oh, that was bad.
Now we can. You know what, Kobe? I think we're right on target because usually we blow the first 10 minutes with nonsensical talk. Anyway,
we are. We have already.
So
we're 12 minutes in.
Okay, great. We have
right on schedule.
So we have the Tina Fey, Paul Rudd film, Admission, which opened today, and I'm sure some other stuff opened. But I decided for some reason, and part of it was, I think it was because of the timing. It's amazing what you can see so long as you get off the air immediately and make it back for your show. But I saw Olympus Has Fallen, and this is the new action film. And by the way, I saw the trailer for G.I. Joe, which opens next week. So we're going to have, ladies and gentlemen, back-to-back films of the White House under terror and crisis, and Gerard Butler is the only one who can save us.
Do you think Hollywood's trying to tell us something?
No, because the Tea Party didn't make it. Anyway, here's do we have the audio?
Oh, no, I don't.
I'm talking about Olympus Has Fallen.
I know. Did you pull it?
No.
Hang on.
Sorry, we're having an on-air meeting as well. and Kobe, I believe this is a trailer you can break down during the show.
Okay, cool.
I think so. We don't. So long as we don't sound like Crow and Servo, I think we're in good shape.
All right, let's find this.
You got
this,
it?
Okay.
Here we go. Green Band, Olympus Has Fallen.
Here we go.
Can't wait.
Oh, I thought it was going to start
last
with
music.
Like a...
Mr. President, 5 minutes, sir.
Yeah, I thought it...
Evening, ma'am.
Merry Christmas, Mike.
Mustang, this is Big Top.
Ashley Judd, hottest first
package.
Lady ever.
Where'd that come from?
Presidential music.
There's a crash, not Chappaquiddick. Big drums. Brian, not in 4/4 with lots of cellos.
She's the president.
You've
got to learn how to get back into the real world.
Mr. President, we're ready for you.
Our guests have arrived.
I'd like to welcome you to the White House, sir.
Heavy hits. Oh.
Not Independence Day.
Oh, no, yeah. It's not a tornado either, guys.
Or 1941. Choppers in slow motion and sound.
Yes.
Where's the Rockies? Two Rockies. Five explosions.
Four.
Three, two.
Give me the Pentagon on the line now.
That was disappointing.
Olympus has fallen.
Oh my gosh!
They actually said it.
Secrets code.
You are the acting president.
I want to speak for the Russians, the Chinese, the British, and the French.
God's
and
the president?
He, again?
You attempt to retake this building.
This is number two.
I will execute
your commander in chief.
We have contact from inside the White House.
Identify
not
yourself.
309.
Jesus, Banning?
Come to the coast. That's
the guy that was removed from
Peter
the
Banning? Peter Banning?
He is ex-Special Forces.
40 commandos breached the gate, 20 in or left. Can we trust him? With all due respect, I'm the best hope you've got.
Yeah.
Abort! Abort! We're talking about the safety of the President of the United States.
We're talking about a hell of a lot more than that, sir.
Is this the world's longest trailer?
It's 2.5 minutes.
Just open the gates of hell.
The United States of America doesn't negotiate with terrorists.
But he'll train them.
Who said anything about negotiating?
This trailer needs a drinking game.
Yes.
Okay. Well, I asked this coming up the elevator with my lovely guests, and have you ever wanted a film to be dumber? And I ask that because this is a film. It's directed by Anton Fuqua, who of course gave us Training Day, Tears of the Sun, and other non-subtle films. He's also a producer, as is Gerard Butler. So that explains a little bit. So that's where he put all of his crummy romantic comedy money into making this. Yes, it is. I think The Onion, and I'm sure other people have coined it. It is Die Hard meets In the Line of Fire. It's Die Hard in the White House. There's the redemption story because he lets the first lady. And by the way, when Ashley Judd dies in the first 10 minutes, not good.
That's a waste of talent.
That is a waste of talent. Well, you know, she needed a break from the basketball courts or the track. That was this. I don't know.
You're supposed to have all the answers.
I know. But just when you think you have all the answers, I change the questions. By the way, wrestling film show next week. Anyway, this is not a subtle film. You have the American flag, of course, flying, and guess what? It's bullet ridden and it falls and
tatters.
That's right. And it's in slow motion and it's still in 4/4 with lots of cellos. And,
of course.
But
are there bullets in bullet time? Shooting?
Oh yeah. There's both. There's slow and fast.
Okay.
And I just wondered. I think if it had more fun, but because it takes itself so serious.
Matt, what I'm gathering from you is,
why can't we just see them do cool stuff all the time? I'm in a movie. I have a limited amount of time. Be cool.
I don't know if it's so much cool stuff, but I think if it had more fun, if it had a tone like The Expendables or Red or Kick-Ass or Machete and didn't take itself so serious. But then again, if it didn't take itself so seriously, do you realize there are two Oscar winners and two Oscar nominees in this film? Morgan Freeman, Melissa Leo, Robert Forster, and Angela Bassett.
Wow.
They're all in this. And of course, I think if it was a dumb, over-the-top film, they probably wouldn't be in it. And yes, Morgan Freeman is the Speaker of the House, and he becomes the president briefly. So, you know, thank you, Deep Impact, for training him for this film.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, maybe they just figured they had Morgan Freeman, so they had the gravitas. And they forgot that he
was a sense of humor. Gerard wasn't enough? I will say this. I guess I prefer Gerard in bad action movies than I do bad romantic comedies.
I prefer him in Phantom of the Opera to this kind of thing.
No, I don't.
That makes one of us.
Well, I don't think you guys are. I like the way he looked.
Oh, that's fine. That's fine. But bombastic singing. That's okay. Oh wait, it's Andrew Lloyd Webber. Yeah.
He did write Starlight Express,
among other things. So, it's not horrible. Do we have Chris Lloyd's first thing? I think that's probably the best summation of it. It could have been a lot worse, but I think it could have been a lot better. It's very brutal at times, and it's not subtle at all. But I wish they had had more fun with it. I guess maybe if
basically it's an action movie released in March.
Yeah, pretty much. and by the way, G.I. Joe's next week. Boy.
With more Channing Tatum this time.
Well, you know what? I have to give it to the lad. If you got enough juice and enough pull that they pull a movie out and add you more of you in it and delay it because of you, that's a nice pat on the back.
I hope he gets more money for that.
Oh, hey, this isn't the Four Musketeers now. Come on. Come on. This is Richard Lester rule, I think. So, no, I just, not the most horrible thing. And by the way, if you listen to David Edelstein's review of on Fresh Air and The Onion, yeah, I think they hated it more than I did.
Yeah, it's not hella bad.
It just could have been hella more, I guess. So there is that. All right, let's take a break. We can get our bearings, because that's what we need. And we'll talk about a big week on DVD and Blu-ray. Not a lot of titles, but big titles for big people. You're listening to Film Sociology. Yes, on Film Talk Show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org.
Any good?
I don't watch movies.
Well, have you heard anything about either one of them?
I find it's best to stay out of other people's affairs.
You know who I can do without? I can do without the people in the video store.
Which ones?
All of them.
What would you get for a 6-year-old boy who chronically wets his bed?
So, do you have any new movies in?
Do you have that one with that guy who was in that movie that was out last year?
They never rent quality flicks. They always pick the most intellectually devoid movie on the racks.
Ooh, Navy SEALs!
It's like in order to join, they have to have an IQ less than their shoe size.
Just go open the video store.
Yeah, open the video store!
Blockbuster Video! Wow, what a difference!
Wow! What a difference. Welcome back to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. If you have a question or a comment, you can email me at msoci@WFYI.org. Also on Facebook, also on Twitter at Matthew Soci. Pay attention, trivia coming up. You have a chance to win a big cash prize. Not cash, I'm kidding. Ooh, take that back. That's not true. You win a prize package courtesy of WFYI.
It's so
and
nice, you'll feel
films.
Like you've won cash.
Yeah, that's right. You could pawn it. You will see there's two trivia questions, and there's a small prize package, and there's a big prize package courtesy of WFYI, which means I have to get Kobe to the prize key.
Ordinarily, you've got a pledge to get this kind of stuff, kids.
and the other item I have, which we'll get to in a little bit. Okay, big week on DVD and Blu-ray this week because there's a couple titles that came out today because Tuesday wasn't special enough for these films. But I guess and Monica's pleasantly chomping at the bit because she knows that coming out today on DVD, Les Mis.
Les Misérables.
Yes. And how are you doing?
I haven't seen the whole movie, but I've seen clips of it. And I have opinions on the movie that I've seen because I've seen the show several times. And it's
let's go around the board. Brian, how many times have you seen it on stage?
Twice, I think.
Kobe?
None.
Twice.
On stage, none.
Twice. On stage, none.
No, I've seen it three times. I'm sorry, three times.
Are you sure?
Yes.
Okay. So
that's my final answer.
So you're chomping at the bit to watch this from start to finish.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous based on what I've seen because what it comes down to is the whole singing live thing. I have a really big problem with that because
give us an example.
No, I can't sing.
No, not that.
Oh.
A film that has singing live.
No, this is like the first time they've actually done it, is recorded it while they're filming.
I think it's been done before, hasn't it?
It quite possibly, yes.
We'll have to check.
But I think of the talent, like the vocal talent with Hugh Jackman and Anne Hathaway. She really does.
By the way, Academy Award winning Anne Hathaway.
Yes, Academy Award winning. But I just feel like it's a spectacle, and I understood the idea behind recording it as they were filming because they could really emote and be in that moment.
Correct.
Or whatever, but
correct.
It's so well known, and it's so, like, I mean, you've had such amazing people playing these characters
before. But they did not star in X-Men. See,
I don't think Colm Wilkinson needs to star in X-Men.
It would help. No. I will say this is now, if I may retort, because I'm the host.
And he's seen the movie.
Oh, you, yeah.
And you've seen it. I'm also
a ventriloquist. this film made my top 10. I really enjoyed it. Now, again, I've not seen it. And I know there's a lot of theater folks out there and stage freaks that, yeah, they're not like you because nobody's like you, Monica.
Well, thank you.
But they do have that emotional attachment to it.
Yeah.
And so the fact that, you know, let's not forget, this is not the biggest era where we had movie stars in musicals that had no business singing. That would be the late 60s and early 70s. I'm looking at you, Lee Marvin. In Paint Your Wagon.
I was also thinking of Clint.
Yes. So, well.
He put it himself slightly better.
Clint did a couple of films, but that's another thing. So, but I think I like the range of the intimacy. You have this great, giant, sweeping CG shot of the work camp. And then, yeah, you get the intimate stuff. And you get, you know, the only thing missing from Anne's performance is Viola Davis snot bubble and all that sort of thing. So I think it runs the gamut. And since I have nothing to base it on, I enjoyed the film in and of itself.
Oh, it's great for that.
Even with Sacha Baron Cohen reprising a role he's played before, and Helena Bonham Carter gets to reprise her Mrs. Levitt performance in Les Mis, you know, in
but
this
she's
film.
So good at Helena Bonham Carter.
And Helena Bonham Carter type things. So now, we switch over because... And by the way, we're still waiting for a response from the former Twilight correspondent that is Fair Sweet Bianca.
I can talk to you about Twilight.
That's okay. fine, we'll get your response to the news in a little bit. But Kobe, you also sat through Les Mis.
Sat through as an appropriate.
That's why I looked at you with a big smirk on my face. Yep. So this is not your cup of tea.
This is what married life is like.
Not really,
Kobe.
I had not seen it on stage. Yeah, I honestly just don't understand the obsession with it. I don't get it.
Well, what was your biggest quibble with it?
The singing,
the whole story.
The singing.
No, I thought the singing was fine. I mean, it's obvious that some people are more experienced with singing on stage and singing and filming and whatnot, and that's fine.
As somebody who likes,
I'm not bothered by that.
As somebody who likes the musicals, loves Labor's Lost, and Everybody Says I Love You, I like the fact that there is a range. Say what you will about Hugh Jackman, he's still not a member of Mamma Mia.
Yeah,
you know. Because I think Hugh Jackman, or Russell Crowe, I should say, as a vocalist, is far better than Pierce Brosnan in Mamma Mia. Far better.
Yeah, that was unfortunate.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, but you don't turn that down. If you're Pierce, you're going to do a movie with Meryl Streep, and they're shooting it in the south of Greece. You don't, it's like Keanu Reeves
and
Much Ado About Nothing.
Yeah, you don't say no.
You don't say no. You do it. But I can't. Oh, whatever. Just go.
Just know that you're going to get lambasted for it for the rest of your career.
Yeah, whatever. I'm James Bond. So I own Ireland if I really wanted to. So that's fine. So, okay. Mm-hmm. So there you go. Now, how many Pam Grier films have you made Bianca watch because of Les Mis?
None.
Good lad. You're learning. So
he still has yet to do that.
What, watch Pam Grier movies?
No, just learn that kind of film exchange.
We make
it be like a reverse rating system.
Make him watch Pam Grier movies.
I made him watch Breaking Dawn Part 1 with me, and I have not lived it down.
Okay. Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, because the reason why I'm trying to get a response from Fair Sweet Bianca is because, of course, Part 2 swept the Razzies. And the fact that even the MTV Movie Awards don't want anything to do with the series anymore.
Well, I mean, you know why.
No, why?
Because they don't have to advertise with them anymore.
Ah.
So they don't have to suck up.
See, that's going to be a shorter response than what Fair Sweet Bianca is going to type up. It's probably 2 pages, single space. And it'll start like, Matt, you're a hater. You have it?
I love it and I hate it. It's a
guilty pleasure?
It's a Twinkie.
Hey, we have this.
Uh-oh.
You drink your Haterade
I
and
do
you
drink my hater.
Being a hater.
Yeah, that's me. See the mug right here. Yep. So,
Haterade.
No, we don't.
It is Haterade. This is radio. Okay, I'm sorry. People in the studio who can see it, there's my mug.
You can see it on the blog at filmsociology.tumblr.com. There's a picture of Matt holding his Haterade mug.
Delivering cynical snark since 1969.
Yep.
Okay. So Les Mis is out there. Also opening on DVD and Blu-ray today, a film that was number 2 on my worst list, This Is 40. Boo-hoo. People get old. Deal with it. I think I've officially jumped off the Judd Apatow thing. And I did it 20 minutes.
I've been off a while.
Well, and I should have done it 20 minutes prior, but because all of his films are too long. you have such a promising scene of Leslie Mann and Paul Rudd making out in a shower, which I'm all for, of course. I wouldn't mind that being 2 hours and 20 minutes, but...
Not that big.
Wear your heart on your sleeve, man.
I do. That's not a sleeve. But then the fact that she starts to complain about turning 40, and it's kind of an extended version of her and Katherine Heigl not getting into the clubs and knocked up. And then it just becomes getting old sucks. Deal with it. Sorry. Don't like it. Don't like it.
Gonna miss that one.
Gonna miss that one. Bianca not interested either?
No.
Good. So there's that. And it's just, again, too long, poorly written female characters. And, you know, the problem was, of course, John Lithgow and Albert Brooks keep this film from being a complete and utter waste of time. Or other waste of time. also out on DVD and Blu-ray this week, Zero Dark Thirty. Oscar-nominated Zero Dark Thirty. I wonder if the folks at Fox that bash on Zero Dark Thirty for, you know, its content... I wonder if they're going to be applauding at the end of Olympus Has Fallen. Just curious.
Yeah.
Don't know. But I think one of the things that we can all agree on, we should all be interrogated by Jessica Chastain.
Yes.
If you're going to be interrogated.
And Monica said it first. That's ruling. but yeah, fine procedural film. Needs to be watched with Zodiac from David Fincher. And very strong, determined performance. Determined? New word.
Is it like a combination of Jessica Chastain and Arnold?
No. Oh, no. No, don't say that. But a determined performance, a very focused performance. And I was picking Chastain until probably 2 days before the Academy Awards. So, you know, you'll have to check my ballots on that one. But a procedural film. And then, you get the last thrilling 30 minutes. But no mission accomplished banner. Sorry. And finally... finally, the last of the new titles on Blu-ray and DVD this week, The Hobbit.
The Hobbit.
It's been, I guess it's, it doesn't feel like it's been 10 years, almost 10 years, since the last Lord of the Rings
film. I know, that's crazy,
which
right?
Which is still ending, I think. We're on ending number 15.
Yes.
So.
Yeah. It depends if you watch the extended or the theatrical cut.
No. The film versions are enough. Thank you. Again, kind of like the little backstory, like with Les Mis, never read them. Never read any
really?
Of them.
Really?
I was reading music and film books and Elmore Leonard novels when I was of that age.
Which
I'm
is
sorry.
Equally cool, I will
yes,
say.
But I never really got into the sci-fi fantasy stuff.
Me either.
I did.
That's why I'm married to him.
And thus lies the rub. Okay. And the rub. So we have The Hobbit. And I will say this. I thought the film could have been 30 minutes shorter. But that's saying something because I thought the first Lord of the Rings film could have been an hour and a half shorter. Yes, the beautiful lady in front, you have a question.
I have like a Hermione Granger hand shooting up here.
Okay.
Okay, so you've never read the books.
Nope.
See, for me, the disappointment in The Hobbit was...
Oh, a movie studio that's going to make three films out of one single book?
Well, no not just that.
What?
It was like, because when Lord of the Rings, when Fellowship came out, it was, I had just read all the books, and I was very young. Well, not very young. I mean, what year is that? Was that 2001?
Yes, it was.
So
you were younger.
I was 14. But it was this
was
huge.
Like watching Sabrina,
no,
the
it
teenage
was,
witch.
It was just this. It was this beautiful. It was just, you know, I remember sitting in the theater and I was with this whole group of people and I was like, oh my gosh, there's that and that and oh, and I was like jumping up and down on my seat.
What are you,
and
Emma?
And then
or you
and
were 14.
And what I was really hoping for in The Hobbit was the same thing. I was hoping to have that same amazement, and it was such a letdown. It was so disappointing.
You're older. You're married. You have more things. It's like the Onion headline: J.K. Rowling gives up writing after discovering boys.
Oh, yeah, you have a fair point there.
I will say this about The Hobbit. First off, it's shorter. It's even at what, 2 hours and 45 minutes, it's still shorter.
You could read the book in less time than it takes you to watch the first third of this film.
There is quite a bit of walking.
A lot.
But not as much as the first Lord.
Yeah, but so much more goes on in those walking time periods.
Oh yeah, they talk about how important this is.
I'm
holding a ring up in front of me. I know, I'm being a hater.
No, you're not. You are. You do need to drink some Haterade now.
Yes, dear.
This has not been a very good show for visuals.
No, they never. You know what? Visuals very low on the radio priority
they
ladder.
They still dominate this.
Yeah, that's
so
true. But it's also called an unexpected journey. So you of course have. And by the way, kudos for Martin Freeman.
Oh yeah,
he's that so was, good in this.
He was great,
and I'm really glad he's in it. And although somebody said he looks like a very, he doesn't look like a hobbit. He's too tall. I'm like whatever.
He's gonna he's
gonna grow up and become. Certain. He's gonna grow up and shrink and become Ian Holm. Come on.
Yeah.
But so the fact that he is of course the title and becomes a pivotal part of the title, that I did not mind, but the fact that we got two more coming, and well, it's nice to see Ian McKellen still rocking it. And by the way, good luck at Sir Patrick's wedding.
I know, right? That's so awesome.
Well, I don't know who's luckier, Sir Patrick or Sir Ian. Like, way to go, guys.
They're so cute together. They're just, I know they're not together. I know they're not getting married. I'm just saying, when you see them together at like events and stuff, they're absolutely adorable.
He's like, come on.
Well, apparently he's even hit on like Benedict Cumberbatch too. Like, he's hitting on all the.
Wouldn't you?
No, he's not my style.
Who, Ian?
Well, no, Ian's totally my style. I discovered that when I watched the first X-Men movie, but then I discovered that he's, old enough to be my grandfather and gay.
Well. New on Blu-ray, Entrapment. No.
I thought that was hot.
Did you get to check out The Hobbit in 3D?
No. I missed it in theaters. And I know I'm a bad film critic because I didn't see the 48 shutter thing.
I think it was only playing in, like, what, the IMAX up in Hamilton County?
Gina would go and see it there. But
in Hamilton
County? I saw something. Yeah, I didn't have my Hamilton County passport, so.
I don't need one because that's where I live.
Yeah, it's a state of mind.
I was born there.
I wasn't. But no, I saw something else that opened that week, whatever it was. So anyway, I finally got to see it, but liked it slightly more than I thought I would because I'm still just tired from Lord of the Rings. So Peter Jackson's got a lot more coming, I know.
It did confirm, however, that Christopher Lee is not yet dead.
No, and good for him.
Yeah.
That's another one. Between that and Star Wars and then kind of being on Tim Burton's speed dial, good for him.
Indeed.
I also hope he has somebody who's like a third of his age, like Patrick Stewart.
Also, can I just say that somehow Cate Blanchett just gets more and more beautiful as the years go on. It's incredibly unfair and yet wonderful.
Yes, I agree.
She's gorgeous.
So are you.
Thank you.
Okay. Also good on the show, Kobe, whispering.
Okay. I just came here to chaperone these two, honestly.
That's not true. You're not the drowsy chaperone. Not yet.
I'm fully awake.
Also on Blu-ray this week on Criterion, and one of the date films of, I think this also came out in 1973. I should have asked her about it. Terrence Malick's film debut, Badlands.
She didn't know Enter the Dragon. I doubt she would have known anything
about that. That's probably true. Young Martin Sheen, by the way, she mentioned, he's doing his best James Dean impression. And as I put on Facebook, Dear Sissy Spacek, could your shorts be any shorter in that film? Apparently not. But they go on it. They love each other. They kill. Well, he kills people. She's along for the ride and providing narration that would be later ripped off in True Romance, as well as the music. And we'll get to that, Kobe. We will get to that. But a fine visual feat. And, of course, the first thing first thing you asked, Brian, was, is the Terrence Malick film, are there more than six words? There is. And it's shorter. Way shorter.
Wow.
So.
Than, like, 5 hours?
There's no 5 hour. And, by the way, I would love to see the 5 hour cut of The Thin Red Line. No, this is about an hour 40.
The one where he didn't cut out all the important stuff.
And half the Screen Actors Guild as well. But no, it's a fine, fine, bleak love story about...
those are the best kind.
That spawned an album by Bruce Springsteen called Nebraska, I think. So go check that out. But I would say, you've not seen that. You've not seen Days of Heaven?
I've seen Days of Heaven.
Okay, so it's not as gorgeous as Days of Heaven, but I think it's
a
simpler story.
I think Terrence Malick is probably the greatest cinematographer of all time. It's too bad that he tried to be a director.
I see. So there's that. Okay, now I feel bad because we kind of Matt Damon'd Kobe last week. because we had hyped about it so much at the beginning. Do you have the intro ready now?
I do, but before we get to that.
Oh, thank you, IU Cinema Correspondent.
Yes.
Boy, I'm sorry, we usually do this earlier, so my apologies.
Let us first start. If you don't have any plans tonight or this weekend, and it's okay if you don't. Tonight.
steal my bits.
At the Indianapolis Museum of Art, the silent film series with live musical accompaniment kicks off tonight, runs through April 12th, 7 p.m. The Toby tonight. Excuse my Japanese, but tonight at 7 p.m. at the Toby, Sanguivorous.
Okay. You know, just don't turn Japanese.
No.
And I really think
so.
tonight, down at IU, IU Cinema, 6:30, 1967, Portrait of Jason.
Okay.
Tomorrow, 3 o'clock, 1963 drama High and Low.
Ooh, great. Look, this is what Ransom wanted to be. Fine, non-samurai film from Akira Kurosawa, who apparently turned 103 this week, according to the Criterion website. Boy, he'd still make a good film at 103.
I bet.
All right, what else?
Follow that up, 7 o'clock, 2009's A Piece of Our Life.
Uh-huh.
Sunday, 3 o'clock, 1952 version, Moulin Rouge.
Oh, Jose Ferrer and John Huston directing.
George Clooney's uncle.
Oh, my gosh, that's right.
And then at 6:30 Sunday, Pickaxe, the Cascadia Free State story.
Mm-hmm.
Monday, 7 o'clock, War Photographer from 2001. And Tuesday, we're going out to Tuesday because this is big here. Tuesday, 7 o'clock, IU Cinema, 1959's Ben-Hur.
Ooh. Written by Gore Vidal with a great unintentional romantic subplot between Stephen Boyd.
Oh, it was totally intentional.
But it's awesome. Okay, and Brian, that movie was not my cup of tea personally, but I can say
not homoerotic enough.
No, that was wonderful.
Okay.
But I mean, I love the chariot scene because they just don't film movies like that anymore.
No, and that's a big, you got to see that on the big screen like at IU Cinema. Definitely worth checking out.
Yeah.
Did you get to see it about 10, 12 years ago when they showed it on the IMAX downtown?
I sadly did not. Did you?
Man. Oh, it was
huge.
Phenomenal.
Did you wear your loincloth while you were there?
Under my clothes.
Okay. Any others over there, Cobb?
That'll take us to next weekend.
All right. Very good. Yeah, go check out Ben-Hur. Excellent
stuff.
Speaking
of IU, go Hoosiers.
Absolutely. Woo!
Sure. all right, this is it.
He's an IU alum. Come on.
That's fine. Those pants have got to go. all right, Kobe, here it is. Like a phoenix
the
rising
phoenix
up.
Rises.
And now it's time for What is Kobe Watching?
What is Kobe Watching?
And by the way, I want to thank Fair Sweet Bianca for going out of town so you can catch up on some of these movies because they've been gathering dust in your apartment. Frank's been sleeping on them for a while, so I'm glad you're finally catching up with some of these. Let's put it this way. I know how far back these go because there was the Martin Scorsese documentary about George Harrison, which came out, I believe, November, maybe December, and I gave you two films that were produced by George Harrison's production company. And they were Monty Python and The Life of Brian and The Long Good Friday. Mm-hmm. Mr. Slego, your thoughts?
Life of Brian, love John Cleese, obviously.
Uh-huh.
Here not
comes,
much
here
for...
Here comes the butt.
That's it?
Yeah, not... Opening scene, guy... It's a guy doing an old British woman voice.
No, I'm sorry, that's Terry Jones, and they've all done that for a long time.
Yeah.
Because Carol Cleveland is too attractive to play Brian's mom.
Yeah.
No?
Not really.
Really?
What? Yeah.
The whole really. Making fun of organized religion?
Yeah, I...
And the whole
people
biblical
front
thing?
Of Judea.
Always look on the bright side of life. Seeing Graham Chapman's junk. No, it's not...
it
not being the Messiah?
No.
Wow. Now, you've seen Holy Grail?
Yep.
What did you think of Holy Grail?
Long time ago. I was like 14.
Wait till Biggest Dickus hears of this.
Silence! What is this insolence? I don't know if we can say that. Anyway, Meaning of Life? No? And, oh, man.
Flying Circus?
Well, you've seen Flying Circus. You have to have seen the series.
The series?
Really? Oh, you need to come over. Because I have the complete series. You and Emma, your sister, can watch
see
it.
A lot more
we
of
need
Terry
to write
Jones
this
doing
wrong.
An old British woman voice.
And them all doing old British women. All right, fine. So, we're.
Where's your penguin at the television?
Spam, okay. spam, eggs and spam.
Okay, so yeah, we'll talk. Now you also saw, actually, this is good because you saw not one but two fine British crime dramas starring Bob Hoskins. Mm-hmm. So you'll start with The Long Good Friday.
Long Good Friday. Cool to see young Helen Mirren. Cool to see young Pierce Brosnan. That's a potboiler.
That's his way of saying it was slow.
That was slow.
Yeah.
And Mona Lisa.
Mona Lisa. Say what I said earlier.
Well, they haven't heard
the
it.
First half hour is. Oh, now we're gonna do it just like it happened earlier today. And
yep.
Then, yep.
Yep.
Okay. Here we go. You ready for this, guys?
Yes. Okay. I'm excited.
The first half hour of Mona Lisa is Pretty Woman only reverse. Who has the money and the social skills?
And Mona Lisa came first.
There you go. See,
there you
joke.
Go.
D-pad. but you have somebody like Bob Hoskins being able to score with somebody like Kathy Tyson, and Sir Michael's just a bad mofro in that.
Mm-hmm. So, like that better than Long Good Friday.
Okay, but it was from the 80s. And of course, the 80s.
Different time.
Not also, as different as the 70s.
Not as different, but still different.
These kids.
Big Dollhouse.
Yeah. Now, yeah, I wanted him to watch some Pam Grier movies that he had not seen before. So he's gotten through pretty much the Pam Grier canon. Coffee, Foxy Brown, Friday Foster. But he has never seen any of the Filipino women in prison movies. Big Birdcage, Big Dollhouse, The Arena. And there's a fine documentary, if you like Big Dollhouse, and why really you should. But it's called Machete Maidens Unleashed. And it's a documentary about the Filipino exploitation films. And if you liked Eurocrime, or if you liked Not Quite Hollywood, which was about the exploitation films of the 70s, it's one of those. But you got to see a women in prison movie, Kobe.
Mm-hmm.
And?
Nah.
No.
No, not really.
Wow, who's the hater now?
Yeah, you need your own Haterade mug. Haterade Junior.
Yours would be a shot glass.
There you go.
Or, yeah, your junior, it would have two handles.
And a sippy cup lid.
That's right. And then finally, you got, and this is another one I couldn't believe you had not seen at a younger age, but you finally watched True Romance.
Oh, yes. Love True Romance.
Because
love True Romance. Everybody's performance in it, awesome. Love Gary Oldman in it. Love Brad Pitt in it. Christopher Walken.
Dennis Hopper.
Yep. Everybody was amazing.
Probably Patricia Arquette at her most beautiful.
I'm salivating and there's not even anything to look at.
Yeah. Liked everything. We get to the ending. The ending kind of felt like it was just an afterthought. But everything else leading up to it was really cool.
So that's worth renting.
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, now, to be fair, of course, if Tarantino had directed it, you know, Clarence would have died. Oh, I'm sorry. Spoiler alert on a 20-year-old film. Get over it.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there would have been... Clarence would have died, and there would have been less feathers flying around during the gunfighting scene. I'm with you on that. And Val Kilmer is Elvis. Because he could play... He could also play Fat Elvis now, but he played Thin Elvis then. But yeah, that's a great quotable film.
Yes.
None of which we can do here.
Love True Romance. And also, I have a feeling that I saved the best for last, potentially with Bullet. Still have Bullet to watch.
Yeah, you need to watch Bullet.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. That, by the way, that won an Oscar for editing. So yeah. Take that.
And Lalo cool. Schifrin. That's
yes. And the only man who can downshift 12 times in a row and still look way cool. Okay.
Speaking of editing.
Yes. And you have 1968 Jacqueline Bisset. You'll see. You will see.
Just wait, my son.
Just wait. All right. So good. Look at that. A big block of what is Kobe watching. And you still got some more. So we'll get to that. I do want to go into the archives for a little bit. And this is where you go to msoci@wfyi.org and get ready to type in the answer. Except for you two. You're not eligible. There are studios like Warner Brothers and MGM and Sony where they have movies that you can buy online. You cannot go to the store because, you know, all those stores that sell videos these days. Or as Kobe likes to put it.
Yeah, I'll burn it for like $5.
Only in Warner Brothers' case, it's 20.
Maybe a bag of Doritos.
That's right. That's right.
College bartering.
When beer and snack food was currency. So... We start
from
with
the zombie apocalypse. It will be again.
Yeah, probably The Walking Dead. So we got two films directed by Sidney Lumet, and I was very, very excited to watch these. The first from 1972 called The Offense, and it stars Sean Connery. And this is one that even you, Mr. Hartz, I surprised you with this little nugget of information. The Offense is one of five films that were a collaboration between Sean Connery and Sidney Lumet. Go to msoci@wfyi.org. Name the other four. If you name the other four, You have to put in the info line Sean Connery. First person to name me the other four films that Connery and Lamette worked on, you will get a prize package courtesy of WFYI and cool. Film Sociology.
Here's a hint. Darby O'Gill and the Little People?
Not it. No. And not a Bond film. Although you brought up we brought up the idea a Sidney Lumet Bond film would have been awesome.
Hey,
look at what it did for Sam Mendes. So now this is one where Connery plays, and it's based on a stage play called This Story Is Yours, which I'm intrigued to see. It's written by John Hopkins. He's also a university. Also did the screenplay. And Connery plays a Scotland Yard veteran. Not Serpico. But he, 20 years in the business, grizzled, burnt out. And there's a string of child murders that happens in his fair city. And it's kind of Connery's downward spiral. So, and as I read did some research on this, when Connery was asked to come back to do Diamonds Are Forever, he not only asked for $1 million. Way to go, Sean. Because that's like a gajillion dollars in Scotland. but he also made a deal with United Artists to do two other films. This one, and he was going to apparently, wasn't sure if it was direct or star or both, but there was going to be a film version of Macbeth. But two things happened. Ooh. Roman Polanski made one first, and The Offense didn't do all that well at the box office. So,
yeah.
Because apparently we don't want to see a vulnerable breakdown of Sean Connery on screen, which is a little bit of what happens in The Offense.
They should take it on she before me.
Could be. And then he slaps Lady M in the keister while men talk. And he hits on all of the witches.
Yes.
Well, why
yes.
wouldn't you?
But also, Trevor Howard is in this, so you know the cast party had to have been fun. But there's a lot of two people scenes in this because it's Sidney Lumet and actors love to work with him. But it's a fascinating crime drama. It's not a potboiler, Kobe, but it's darn close. The other one that came out that Sidney Lumet did, this is from 1970, and it's called The Last of the Mobile Hotshots. And this is based on a Tennessee Williams play, and it's The Seven Descents of Myrtle. It's a late Tennessee Williams play, and it really shows. Gore Vidal did the screenplay, and the film stars James Coburn, Lynn Redgrave, and for you fans of The Rookie, Robert Hooks, who is also Trouble Man.
Zach.
Call back to my last appearance.
That's what we call a callback, kids.
That's right. So we have Coburn and Redgrave meet on a TV show, on a game show. They get married. They have to spend a week together before they get all the cash and prizes. And he takes her back to his plantation, which he wants to rebuild to be just like 1840, don't we all? And about half hour into it, he announces to his bride that he has a brother who happens to look like the black guy from The Rookies. And that's Robert Hooks. So expect race issues, gender issues, sexual issues. And I'll say this. The performances are good. And this would probably be mind-blowing if you've never read or seen any Tennessee Williams at all, ever. Problem is, we have.
All right. Yeah. I'm gonna make a prediction here. I have not seen this film, nor have I read the play, but I'm going to guess that there is perhaps an over-the-hill Southern belle and repressed homosexuality somewhere in this.
And or alcoholism.
Moving on. well, you're right on a couple of those. And you get a stripping Lynn Redgrave in 1970. Georgie girl.
Ooh.
All right then.
Yeah, so there's that. So those are worth checking out. Now, last week we were talking with Tracy Foreigner, and you have to find Hellraisers, the book Hellraisers, which is, of course, the
yes.
Life and Inebriated Times of Richard Burton, Richard Harris, Peter O'Toole, and Oliver Reed.
I bought a copy of it for a friend, but haven't read it.
And I think you wrote Oliver Reed makes Charlie Sheen look like a pansy, which I'm absolutely in agreement with on that. But one of the films I forgot to talk about, because we talked about some of the weird films that O'Toole and that Burton did. He did a film called Villain with Ian McShane, and Oliver Reed did a film called The Sellout with Richard Widmark. That also was a fun cast party. But two of those guys worked together. So I had a Blu-ray and I bought it. It's been sitting on the shelf, but I finally sat down for the first time in many, many years and watched 1964's Beckett with Richard Burton
fantastic.
And
yeah,
Peter
we've been
O'Toole.
Meaning to watch that.
Now you can because
well,
we brought it up.
It.
But of course, Peter O'Toole is King Henry II and Richard Burton is Thomas Beckett, who later becomes Archbishop of Canterbury because they were friends and they were drinking partners and they were drinking partners and they were humping partners and then, well, Burton's character decides to actually be a man of his own, and that leads to conflict and beheadings and guilt.
And interesting conversations about forks.
Very interesting conversations about forks. John Gielgud is in this. It won the Academy Award for Best Adapted Screenplay. So,
and it's also one of two films in which Peter O'Toole plays King Henry II.
The other being?
The Lion of
Winter. Winter.
There you go. That's right. So the other trivia question, you'll get a smaller prize package if you get this one right. With Sidney Lumet and The Last of the Mobile Hotshots, name the other Tennessee Williams play that Lumet made into a film. Go to msoci@wfyi.org, write Sidney Lumet on the comment line, and the prize could be yours. Do we have the Dead People intro? The Dead People intro? Do we have the Dead People intro? Do we have the Dead People intro?
Doing our the annual show of dead people we like.
There's a pretty big one this
week.
We don't
have time for dead people we don't like.
Yes.
Okay. I have to be careful when I bring this up because I know the brass might be listening, but actor Harry Reams died this past week at the age of 65, best known as the male star of the film Deep Throat. Now, I did not watch Deep Throat because of this. I did, however, watch the fascinating documentary called Inside Deep Throat, which was produced by Brian Glazer. And much to the credit, it was put out, I think, by Universal. It received an NC-17 rating, and rightly so. But it is a fascinating documentary, not just about the making of the film, what Linda Lovelace went through, what Harry Reams went through. The man was arrested and almost went to jail because he was in a film like this. And just a fascinating look behind the making. By the way, half the soundtrack from Boogie Nights is used in this. Shocking.
Nice,
nice touch. But there was that brief period of porno chic where people went to, you know, Warren Beatty and Johnny Carson and Jack still watches it now. But films like Beyond the Green Door, Emmanuel, Deep Throat, Devil and Miss Jones, these were almost mainstream. Almost, not quite, but, you know.
That brief golden period after the fall of the production code.
Right, exactly. And Reams, of course, tried to become a legitimate actor. According to the documentary, he was supposed to play the coach in Grease. He was originally cast as the coach in Grease.
Wow.
Because, well, when you think athletic prowess, you think Sid Caesar. And I think Paramount finally said, no, we don't want anything to do with that. Reams wound up going back to doing adult entertainment, major alcoholic, and, of course, getting older in that business does not do well. And eventually sobered up, became a Christian, and a licensed real estate broker in Salt Lake City. So was able to end life on a fairly decent note and not like John Holmes. And, of course, there's a film that's supposed to come out about Linda Lovelace next year with Amanda Siegfried and playing Harry Reams. Anyone? Adrian Brody.
Wow.
Enjoy that mustache, Adrian. So, and Brian, I thought of you because in the news this week, you heard that apparently Ennio Morricone vows never to work with Quentin Tarantino again over the music that was used in Django Unchained.
Well, doesn't working with him just constitute him approving his use of his music?
Well, I think Ennio actually made some bits for him for Inglourious Basterds, and I think I couldn't remember if it was Kill Bill, but yeah, basically what Quentin did was took one of Ennio's pieces and put it in the film. And according to an article by the Hollywood Reporter, the 84-year-old conductor said he uses music without coherence. Well, unfortunately, yeah, it's true, but it's not really a surprise. He's been doing this since Reservoir Dogs.
True.
So this really shouldn't be a surprise. And I wonder if Ennio liked the music from the artist, because Kim Novak didn't. So there is that. So anyway, Ennio, it's okay. You still have 500 other credits to your name, and there's that. What's going on with the blog? We got a brief period of time there.
Cinematicmusic.blogspot.com. It's called Music From and Inspired By. Just published a posting today about a retrospective collection of music from the films of Stanley Kubrick.
Yes, very cool.
So drop in, check out the music of a composer you've probably never heard before, Gerald Fried.
No relation to Alan Freed.
Nope.
That would be cool.
He did write the famous Star Trek fight music.
No.
Yes.
Go check that out. Monica, what are you up to?
I work at Amelia's, which is the bakery housed within Bluebeard, which is a new restaurant in Fountain Square that was recently nominated for the James Beard Award for Best New Restaurant in the Country. Whoa. So I bake the bread that Bluebeard uses, and we also sell wholesale to restaurants throughout the city.
And Bluebeard, crummy Richard Burton film with Raquel Welch.
But Julie the Heather food at the restaurant is amazing, so you guys should all come check us out.
There you go. Words to live by.
Silent Green is people!
Zardoz has spoken.
Thanks, Brian. Thanks, Monica. Thanks.
Thank you, Mr. Sosie.
Happy birthday, Christina and Kobe. I'll see you after The Whipping Man at IRT. Go see a good movie. You deserve it. You're listening to Film Sociology, a film talk show here on WFYI HD to the Point and WFYI.org. Answer the trivia questions, win a cash. Not a cash. Win a prize.
Stop misleading people. Man.